thanks so much. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. If you're just joining us, Alexander Zalbin is with us right now. He's the managing editor of Decider.com, a wonderful website if you like entertainment news. Alexander, you've been saying for months, maybe even years, I bet at some point there's a huge scandal involving Aunt Becky from Full House. And we always said, that's impossible.
Yeah, no, that's my Twitter handle and everything.
A-B in trouble. All right, you tell us, because we just got word either yesterday or last night that the Hallmark Channel has severed the relationship between Lori Loughlin and themselves, and we don't know yet what'll happen with Felicity Huffman with any further work. What's your opinion? Will they not work again? Is it that serious?
It's pretty serious. I mean, as you guys probably know really well, with any sort of scandal like this, and certainly this goes beyond a scandal into an actual crime, there's a lot of dropping from media properties, TV shows, movies, etc., that happens immediately. And then certainly you see whether things cool down a bit, and then potentially they start to get work again.
Mm-hmm.
This, they may be facing jail time. You know, we have to obviously see how all this plays out, but that's certainly going to affect their ability to work. Also, today, I think it was late last night or early this morning, she was a guest star on Fuller House, and Netflix will no longer be using her as well.
Wow.
So for the time being, at least, Lori Loughlin's career is over.
Wow.
See, we were talking about this, and I didn't know if it would affect, we didn't believe it would affect, like, movie roles and stuff, because this isn't that serious, but something as wholesome as Hallmark and this Fuller House, although, how did Bob Saget make it, you know, because he's, like, just such a dirty comic.
But that's not a crime. You know,
right,
no crime
God.
Has been committed.
Or prisons would be very full.
Horrible. What about William H. Macy on Shameless, though, Alex? Will he keep his job on Shameless?
That is a big question that people keep asking, because he was, in some sense, clearly a part of this, but however it is not clear. It was named Felicity Huffman and spouse on all of the legal papers.
Yeah.
None of the headlines or initial info or anything that I've read, and to be honest, I haven't read every single piece of information about this, but has not really pointed to what is going on with William H. Macy. Right now, it seems to be affecting Felicity Huffman a lot more. So, well, the popular theory, this is not based on any actual information, but the popular theory is that William H. Macy basically gave info and maybe even turned Felicity Huffman in.
Oh, really?
I do think he's in trouble as well.
Boy, it seems like there was a time in show business where you could almost get away with anything, and now, and probably rightfully so, there's a microscope on everybody, you know?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think getting back to the original thing we were talking about entertainment companies waiting for these things to blow over, this was huge. It was so shocking when it came out. Everybody, all they were talking about is, I don't understand what's going on here with these women, with this whole scandal. How is this happening? So maybe in a couple of weeks when people move on to the next thing, or even a week when people move on to the next thing, it'll calm down a little bit. But right now, that's, at least in the world of entertainment, what everybody is focusing on. So they're done for now.
These are two of the least suspected people
head,
though. You know?
Yeah.
Like, please don't ask me who I would expect to do this, Sam. But those two, never in a million years would I have thought them.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can't find two squeakier clean people than them, than the two of them, you would think.
Exactly, but that's clearly their front-facing personalities.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, a lot was going on behind the scenes.
Wendy, I'm going to make up a list of people I do suspect to do horrible things, and we could read that list later, okay?
All right,
that'll be fun. They canceled a show that was getting great reviews. Everybody seemed to like it. It was the remake of One Day at a Time that was over on Netflix. What went wrong there?
Well, it depends on who you ask, honestly. This was a huge deal to fans yesterday, particularly because the show, beyond being very, very funny over the three seasons that were on Netflix, was it dealt with some very serious issues in its run in a very heartfelt, warm, and also sometimes funny way. It was very inclusive, both of Latinx characters as well as LGBTQ characters. But according to Netflix, they put up a couple of tweets about this, which they never do. They usually cancel things in the middle of the night. But what they said was, hey, the viewership just wasn't there. And of course, people flipped out about that. And they specifically flipped out Because first of all, there clearly is a fan base. You could see it trending on Twitter all night. But second of all, Netflix doesn't release viewership numbers. So for them to say not enough people watched it, nobody knows what that means. That could be for Netflix, sorry, we only had 50 million people watching it, not enough for us. Or it could mean three. We have no idea. So people reacted very poorly to that. One of our writers, Brett White at Decider, wrote a very impassioned piece titled "No Netflix, It's Not Our Fault One Day at a Time Is Canceled, It's Yours," where he kind of went in on them a little bit. So we'll have to see what happens. At this point, a lot of celebrities, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Stephanie Beatriz on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, who actually guest starred on the show, have really been behind it. And the hope is that it will find a new home somewhere else.
What you just said about Netflix is interesting because they did the same thing with Bird Box. They're notorious for not releasing figures, their numbers, but when they want to use numbers against somebody, then they pull out the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Bird Box was a huge hit. They did the same thing where they kind of surprisingly released numbers for You and Elite and Sex Education, three of the recent TV shows.
But
to your point, those, they said, we have 40 million people watching You. Isn't that huge? And that was clearly a dig towards the numbers the show originally aired on Lifetime, where it got well sub a million people per episode, versus One Day at a Time. We don't know. It honestly could be one of the most successful sitcoms if you compare it to broadcast TV.
Right.
But we have no idea at this point.
And the last remnant of Norman Lear on television, there was a time where Norman Lear had five or six or seven shows at a time. This was the only show he was working on. I hope it's not the end of the line for him. I love him. All right, we'll take a break. Go on. What were you going to say, Alex?
No, I was just going to say, I think everybody on the show is so beloved and so impassioned about things, they'll find other things to do.
Yep. All right, a break and then more television talk with Alexander Zalbin. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Spill Left, it's Wendy Snyder. We've got Alexander Zalbin on the line with us, managing editor of Decider.com. Alexander, we were lucky enough to have Maria Bamford in our studio yesterday. And I mentioned your name because I thought you turned me on to Lady Dynamite. You may have, but all I know is that I watched it, I loved it, and you and I discussed that. And we, of course, brought up Arrested Development, where she is going to be appearing in this last gasp. When is that happening?
That's out today. It's the last couple of episodes, at least for now. They're all on Netflix. Just to be clear for fans of the series, it's the second part of season five. So even though it's been about a year gap between episodes, these last, I believe, six episodes are season five, part two. So they close up and finish up the story that they started well over a year ago now. We don't know if there's ever going to be any further episodes of the series. One of our writers, Kayla Cobb, actually wrote a nice explainer that just went live on the site about that. It's a definite end to the series without getting into any spoilers.
I didn't want to ask Maria this, but is Jeffrey Tambor in this?
He is. He is heavily featured. And as we know, there was certainly a controversy about him. But yeah, he's in the episode.
Wow. I didn't see that coming. And very, very interesting. Also, a show that we discussed with you a couple of weeks ago, Umbrella Academy. Wendy and I both started watching it this week. That's a really good show.
Oh, I'm glad you guys like it.
Loving it.
For those who haven't checked it out, great, deeper superhero show, dysfunctional family show. I think it builds really nicely over the course of the run. And if you do like the show, I urge you to go check out the original comic books it's based on. They're written by Gerard Way, the front man for My Chemical Romance. It was his first real foray into comics, and they're trippier and weirder than the show, but they're a lot of fun.
The show is highly stylized. The music is great, and it's very reminiscent of The Haunting of Hell House. The same guy, Jeremy Slater, who was behind that, writing that, is writing this. And there are a lot of parallels. You see them, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm trying to remember what parallel they called it, but it's basically it's not scary like Haunting of Hill right. House, but certainly having everybody in that house together, having this dysfunctional family working with each other,
a book
there certainly
involved.
Are a lot of parallels.
I often wondered if it was even the same entryway at first. That took me a second. And I do want to say, Alexander, now this is like probably the fifth show you have suggested, and then Bill's like, you got to watch it. I wasn't sure about the first episode of Umbrella Academy. I'm like, don't really like superheroes. I'm not really into this. I'm going to give it one more episode. And it turned the corner. Yeah, they're superheroes, but that's like taking a back seat to all the dysfunction that's going on in their family. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, oh, I'm so glad you guys like it.
It's like it's just like This Is Us. It's exactly like This Is Us. You don't have to say anything. I know you're nodding your head in agreement. Here. Right. If the kids in This Is Us had superpowers, it would be Umbrella Academy. Mm-hmm. All right. There's a new show with Aidy Bryant, who we all know from Saturday Night Live, that looks really funny. I know it's on Hulu, and it's called Shrill. What can you tell us about this?
So this is on Hulu as of today. It's based on Lindy West's memoir, I believe, of the same name. There's 6 episodes, and it's a very quirky comedy. It deals, at least in the first episode, with weight issues, but in a very original, very different way. Critics generally have been very kind about it and liked it a lot and liked the way that it delves into that. That's not the only thing that's going on. There's a character played by Jan Cameron Mitchell, who people might know as the original Hedwig in The Angry Inch. He plays a very snotty magazine editor who works with Aidy Bryant. But the biggest thing about the series, if you only know her from SNL and her hilarious characters there, it's a much deeper, much more interesting character for her. She still gets to be funny, but it's a great showcase for her in particular.
Good, because I always like her on Saturday Night Live, and I always wondered what will happen to her when eventually she's off. I'm glad she's already delving into other projects. She's very talented.
Yeah.
You have a description of the show Turn Up Charlie that I think may be the best description, Alexander, you've ever written, that I've read anyway. And it says, you say this about Turn Up Charlie with Idris Elba: it's not very good, but Idris is handsome.
I mean, listen, that pretty much is the show. It stars by Idris Elba. A lot of people might not know this, but his true passion is not acting. It's being a DJ.
Oh.
That's seemingly what he really wants to do. And he brings it together in the show where he plays a struggling DJ who ends up being a manny for his best friend, who is now a incredibly popular Hollywood actor. I got to be honest, I did not love the first episode, and some of my other writers who checked out other episodes also didn't love it, but Idris Elba is one of the most effortlessly charming human beings alive.
Yeah.
He's very handsome, and if you want to watch an easy show with Idris having an English accent, being a DJ, and taking care of a kid, it's on Netflix right now. There you go.
You know, he was so good in The Wire, and he's great. I've never seen him not be good, but I'm not positive comedy's his play, you know?
That SNL episode was pretty lame.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very weird choice for him, and the entire time I was watching the episode, that was my main thought, is I'm not quite sure why this is happening.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. It's not offensive. It's
funny,
a manny comedy.
Oh.
But, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Marcia Clark, who we all know from the O.J. Simpson trial, is now producing TV. The Fix is the name of the show. It has nothing to do with the O.J. Simpson trial, though, does it?
Well, that's what they're saying, except it premieres Monday on ABC at 10 p.m. It's a weekly series. You decide. It's about a prosecutor who prosecutes a famous high-profile murder trial with a celebrity suspect. The celebrity gets off, even though he's actually probably guilty, and then years later she's pulled back into the case.
Oh.
So, yeah, again, Kayla Cobb, one of our writers, has seen it. She actually talked to Marcia Clark about it, so we're going to have a little coverage going up on the site. But they're very specific about, no, that's kind of just how it starts.
Yeah.
But according to her description, it's pretty clearly an O.J. revenge fantasy is pretty much what's going on.
So it's if not about it, it's heavily influenced by it. Is that fair to assume?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. All right. Just give us one thing this weekend on TV that we should not miss. Is there anything coming up in the next couple of days that we absolutely shouldn't miss?
I am an enormous fan of the show Catastrophe. I don't know if you guys have seen it, with Rob Delaney and Sharon Horgan.
It premiered in
Britain. The last season is on Prime Video today, and it's absolutely wonderful. Even if you've never seen the series before, each episode is kind of its own capsule. The basic description is about a couple that should not have ended up together. They had a random hookup in England. The lady got pregnant, and they decide to kind of try and make it work. And it's really one of the most honest, realistic, hilarious takes on marriage that I think I've ever seen on TV. Without getting into spoilers, the last episode is absolutely beautiful. It's very funny. It's very deep. It's really well written. Cannot recommend that series highly enough.
Sharon Horgan not only stars in it, but also writes it. Is that correct? They both write it, don't they?
Yeah, they both write it together, so yeah. It's very much them, and they, one of the funniest things about it to me is that they create the thing, but they constantly throw each other under the bus.
Yeah.
Just, they are not depicted as these beautiful, wonderful married people.
Right.
They're mean to each other, they
always
yell at each other, but it's also very sweet and tender at the end of the day.
It's called Disaster. If you get a chance, definitely see it. It's
Catastrophe.
Catastrophe. I'm sorry, Catastrophe.
And what do we need to know about Game of Thrones? That's in the news.
Oh, sure. So this was actually just revealed. HBO revealed the official run times and air dates for the final season of Game of Thrones. There are only 6 episodes. It starts Sunday, April 14th at 9 p.m. and airs every Sunday after that up until the 6th episode. The shortest episode, which is the season 8 premiere, is 54 minutes, and the longest episode is an hour and 22 minutes. So you're definitely going to have to put out a big chunk of time to take care of the show. The big thing the fans are speculating about right now is it seems like, based on the run times, that episode 3 is going to be the hugely anticipated Battle of Winterfell, which is one of the main settings of the series. But it seems like there might be another big battle happening in episode 5 as well that they haven't talked about yet, which certainly has fans of the show very, very excited.
Outstanding. Alex, thank you so much. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, sounds great. Thanks so much.
It's Alexander Zelbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com.